chickens in the houses, they got chickens in the trees. Chicken in the pots, the motto of the Petalumese. Out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay? Now Marvin got me started, sold me my first hen. Now I got 4 and 20, and 24 more again. I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay? Chicken in the morning, it's chicken in the night. Weren't for chicken, Petaluma never would have reached its height. I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, smart talk about food, wine, and farming in Sonoma County and beyond. Yes, it is indeed Michelle and Jordan live in the studio. I missed another week last week. Viruses seem to really love me this year. Too many have visited, but for now, knock on wood, I'm feeling pretty good. And we've got a great show lined up. I've got to say a great thank you to Chris Sawyer. I think this was just the easiest show to organize. I asked, you said yes, and here we are. I do want to acknowledge, first of all, that it's really hot out. So if you're not listening now, I completely understand, especially if you're in a pool or something. But perhaps you're celebrating Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to everyone out there. And the music tonight, of course, will be tuned to that theme. And I know that Chris is a father.
Yep.
We also have with us Betsy and Bill Knockbauer of Acorn Winery.
Hello.
Kids?
Michelle, how are you?
I'm good. Got kids?
We have two boys.
Okay, so you're a father too?
Yep.
So there you go. We've got two topics that overlap. You may have noticed very quietly, about 3 months ago, I think,
yep.
The Gravenstein Grill opened in the space, most recently French Garden, mm-hmm. there on Bodega Highway. The only place I can legally have a martini because I can walk home.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't live very far from there at all. And I've been there. I was there with you, Chris.
Yep.
You're one of the...
I'm one of the
silent partners.
Yeah, I'm not really
not
that
exactly silent.
I wouldn't call it silent, since I'm the sommelier too.
Oh, okay.
It's a great group effort. So I've got three partners. Chef Bob Samochi. We'll talk about him a little bit more in detail. He's awesome. But Brandon Parkhurst is a great friend that I met down in Marin. They had the Brick and Bottle, mm-hmm. down in Marin, and they were all together. Mm-hmm. And same thing with
Owen. And what's Brandon's position?
He is the GM and the maitre d'. And Owen, on the other hand, is the other part owner, and he's really the bar director.
And, oh, I had them backwards. I had Owen as the maitre d' and Gio.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's Brandon. Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
I think the most important thing is that it's a great team effort. Mm-hmm. So everyone does different things, and it's great when you have a chef too that really does a great job behind the scenes, mm-hmm. and he's got a great staff. And you know, the wonderful thing about it is Sebastopol is kind of blooming again. It's a nice place to go and to relax, and people are really enjoying themselves there. I remember when I was a kid growing up and spending a lot of time in Sebastopol, and it's gotten back to that kind of beat, and things are exciting. And I think this summer has been exciting so far, this spring going into summer. And that's why it's a lot of people, a lot of locals are coming to the restaurant now. So,
mm-hmm. Oh, good. Yeah. Good. And I know you're sold out for tonight.
Yes. Father's Day is totally sold out. We would have had Bob here, Chef Bob, with us, but he just could not make it.
Yeah.
I tried to get him, believe me.
We didn't realize it was the holiday when we booked this. But yeah. And we booked it.
Probably want you there.
Yeah.
There was a great little tasting there in a side garden that I hadn't realized existed. Yeah. You put that together, what, about a month ago?
Yeah, it was just a few weeks ago, and that was a rosé mm-hmm. experience, you know, where we brought out a lot of the great rosés from Sonoma County, especially Russian River Valley.
Mm-hmm. I know you had Sidebar there.
I had Sidebar, David Ramey's wine.
Yeah, and I have an article about that coming out in the Press Democrat this Wednesday. My pairing article is with that, their 2016 vintage.
That's great. I mean, we had Kobler and Jaeger and
County Line
and of course Boleto, just great producers that were pouring there. And I asked these two, Betsy and Bill, to show up, and guess what? They brought their wine too. And it was actually quite a fun evening for everyone. And you know, Ben Papa Pietro from Papa Pietro Perry Winery was there too. And just, we had such a jovial time, and that's what pink wines will do to you if they're done well. And I think we're very lucky. That's why we brought some fun ones for you to taste tonight with us.
You know, one thing about it, I brought my dog Lark with me when I came to the tasting, and a little you know, not 100% positive it was okay, but since it was outside, I figured it was. They were so nice, and they talked on and on about how they are completely dog friendly. And then the chef went in the back and brought out this little bowl of some sort of pork stew for Lark, and boy did she just lap that up. So it's the outside part is not just dog tolerant, but very dog friendly.
Oh, it's a great location. You know, I think that when the French Garden had it, they were doing a good job. It wasn't very consistent, and I felt like the interior needed to kind of calm
needed
down.
To be softened.
It needed
it's
to be
very harsh.
But you know, and they weren't really doing that much with the outside, mm-hmm. and that's what, wow, you look at it now and people are driving by and they're just turning right there and coming in. So it's a great thing, and the bar is amazing. It's a long bar, and it's you know, Bill and Betsy stayed for dinner with me that night too, and we just had a blast.
Well, the bar has always been my favorite part of that building, even way back when it was Marty's Top of the Hill.
Anyone hear about that before?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it used to be the place in the 70s. Everybody from Cotati, which is to say the hippies, were terrified. There were two places they were terrified to go. One was Marty's Top of the Hill, and the other one was the Ponderosa, was a cowboy nightclub on Lower Santa Rosa Avenue. But every now and then, you know, the planets would converge in such a way that it's like, hey, let's go see what the rednecks are doing.
Yeah.
And they had fabulous music at Marty's Top of the Hill. It was just, you know, we went sort of as a joke, and it just ended up being a place everyone loved to go.
That's cool.
During the day, it was an old 40s and 50s style Italian restaurant. Mm-hmm. And it was where the businessmen and the ranchers from the Sebastopol and that surrounding area would go for lunch.
Jeez.
And then it just transformed into, you know, the, I'm not sure how to say it politely, you know, the blank kicker cowboy boot, cowboy hat set.
Yep.
And, you know, great little piece of, great little piece of Sonoma County. Well, and I think, not positive, I think Dan Smith may still have the original sign.
Oh, wow.
Should ask him.
That'd be fun.
Should get it.
We should at least get a picture of it and put it on the wall. That would be.
There are some great pictures of it.
People will have a lot of fun doing
that. All you have to do about that sign, post on Facebook that you're looking for photographs of the outside of Marty's.
Yep.
You'll get some fabulous photographs.
Sounds fantastic to me.
So let's let's have some wine.
Okay.
Because the rosés are sitting out, and we like them. I certainly really like them chilled, yep. Especially on a day like this. So let's talk a little bit about the wines and then come back to the menu
okay. And
other stuff about it.
Okay. I think we'll start out with actually the Pinot one that I brought in, just because I know that Bill and Betsy's one is a little bit more complicated than this one.
Okay.
So I thought that a nice Pinot Noir one. This is Hook and Ladder, so this is from Russian River Valley.
No, I just want you to pour it at your microphone.
Okay, so
just so that you can hear it.
So you guys can hear it. Here we go.
Yeah, there you go. Yes. Beautiful glasses. That sounds really nice.
So this is, like I said, this is from Hook and Ladder Winery, and this is right in Russian River Valley, too. You know, where we're at there in Gravenstein Grill is really close. We're inside the Russian River Appellation. So, you know, there's a lot of specialty kinds of winemakers that mm-hmm. we really favor there because, you know, people come to, you know, Sonoma County, they want an experience that's Sonoma County based.
Mm-hmm.
They can go mm-hmm. other places. We know that. And we want to make them feel at home. And if they love that wine, go buy some tomorrow, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So Hook and Ladder is really, it goes back to Cecil DeLoach and the great history of the DeLoach Winery.
Former fireman
and always a lover of wine. And that's a great thing. He was really one of the top firefighters of, you know, the history of San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And he really put a lot of heart and soul into what he did.
You know, he opened DeLoach while he was still a fireman, didn't he?
He did.
Yes.
He did, which is rare.
Yeah.
You know, you don't find that every day. But they really do make consistently delicious wines. And this is his new label, obviously, mm-hmm. Hook and Ladder. It's based on firefighter terminology, Hook and Ladder. He really just pays attention to the vineyard still. His family does a great job with this wine. And this is just a new one that I haven't tasted this rosé, so we're all tasting it for the first time together.
Well, I want you to taste it because I think my palate is off. Mm. Only in that I went out for a late brunch at K&L Bistro, and I drank iced coffee, and the coffee is still, I thought I'd gotten it off my palate, but it's still there. Mm-hmm. So the wine tasted off dry, and I don't think it is. I think it's probably dry.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of body to this. I'll say that. It's filled with fruit. You know, there's a lot of cherry, some really nice little plum notes to this too, but it's bright, it's lively, it's fairly big. And
it's got a lot more fruit than you typically find in a Pinot Noir or a rosé, I'd say.
This is giving you a lot for your money, I think.
A little bit of a watermelon rind.
Yeah.
Right in the middle, some watermelon rind, which is a quality that I really appreciate in a rosé.
Be a nice one for, you know, paella, something like that, that needs a lot of work there. That there's a lot of things you are going to be in different bites, and that's a good Pinot-based one.
This would also be really good with tuna, any raw tuna.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's right. You know, we're seeing good prices for sushi grade tuna right now. And certainly in this weather, not cooking the tuna is a really good idea. So this would be a very nice wine.
Yeah. And when you came in recently, you had the dichotomy rosé. Remember, we had it at the table
and
you
absolutely.
Fell in love with that.
Yep.
And that's another good example of a great Pinot Noir based rosé, and we do that one by the glass, and that's a very small little producer.
That wine.
Yeah, Friedman Winery. Mm-hmm. So fantastic stuff, and I just love finding these little gems that we get to share with people.
Mm. Also, Eric Sussman's County Line, his 2016 vintage. That just blew my socks off, but I wasn't wearing any.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is, too, and I brought this up when you came to that event, the rosé event, is that, you know, Eric's making a great cider. You know, it's a very, very good cider, and we do that by the glass, too, at the restaurant. It's just a fun cider. I mean, he cares about not only vineyards, but he cares about apple trees, too.
Yes, and that's a great, the whole cider movement. Yeah. I'll have to have him on one.
They're all from primarily one vineyard there, too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a wonderful project he's up to right now.
Yeah, it's great. So back to the actual little walk around tasting, which was free, we should add.
Yes.
You're planning those, once a month or something?
Yeah, we're going to do them pretty much on a regular monthly basis. Mm-hmm. The thing is, I go to Telluride this next week, which is fun. I'm the wine director for the Telluride Wine Festival. And once I get back, then I'll be here all summer.
Okay.
So the rosé one was the right way to kick it off, though. Sure. I mean, you just got to love rosé. And, you know, some of these rosés, too, they sell out, and you got to buy them fast. And that's, you know, I brought in the Lassiter one that we'll taste in a few minutes. Mean, this just got ranked number one for America in the Wine Spectator.
Oh, it did?
I know that. I don't think it's going to last that long.
I've written about this wine a couple of times, and I've actually got a sample on its way to me. I can't wait to taste it.
Yeah.
We're going to take a little holiday music break, and we'll be right back.
You're my love, you're my angel, you're the girl of my dream. I'd like to thank you for waiting patiently. Daddy's home.
Up in the Limelight, a follow-up to their hit single You're a Million Miles Away. I remember that from, I think I was about 5 years old, and I remember sitting with the seat down on the toilet while my mother combed the knots out of my hair before she braided it, and this song being on the radio, because that's the kind of memory I have. So we tasted Hook and Ladder, mm-hmm. and it's the 2016.
That is correct.
Okay. What are we tasting next?
So this is Acorn by Bill and Betsy. So this is the wonderful one. I'll just, before I let them go into this, let me just tell you how I met them. When I was at the lodge at Sonoma for 10 years, I was buying a lot of wines there, and Betsy came in and met me, and I just kind of started falling in love with everything they made, and I started sending people their way. They've got a great winery. It's really close to where Rodney Strong and Fabiano are. It's basically across the street, and I started going there.
I love Chris's compliments, but the winery, the tasting room, is a garage in comparison to the Rodney Strong and
you
Jay.
Know, I like those
That's
kinds
why
of
it's
tasting
so cool.
rooms. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you can get the personality of the vineyard from being there. Mm-hmm. And really, that's a wonderful thing. I remember being there one time and watching this. I thought it was a windy day and that the wind was moving the leaves of the vines. And it wasn't. They were rabbits that were jumping there. And it was just like, oh, my God, that's so cool. So I like every single wine that they make. Mm-hmm. And that's why
I
love
I fell in love
with
your Pinot Noirs quite some time ago.
Well,
we don't do a Pinot Noir. We're
Pinot
Russian
not.
River
we
without
may be
a Pinot
Noir. The only Russian river producer that yeah.
There's
not.
Something
the
I fell
Zinfandel,
in love with.
The Zinfandel and the Zinfandel based blends, or
so all our wines are field blends. Every wine we make is from our own vineyard.
I wonder if it's the Dolcetto I'm thinking of.
Maybe it was. Yeah.
Maybe it was. Yeah.
Well,
maybe
that's
it was
a
the
great food wine right there.
Yes. It must have been the Dolcetto.
So the vineyard name is Alegria, which means happiness and joy. It makes a great toast, but it makes Bill really happy to be in the vineyard, and we hope our wines make people happy when they drink them.
Yeah.
Now, you bought this property in 1990,
we bought
right?
it in 1990, yes. So we've been at this for about 27 years.
Mm-hmm. Where was the vineyard established there when you bought it?
Yes, the Zinfandel vineyard was 100 years old when we bought it, so it was planted in 1890.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a field blend with about 18 varieties in it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's predominantly Zinfandel, but it has Petit Trois, Alicante, Boucher, and 15 other grapes.
Even some red muscat in there that makes it so interesting,
yeah,
you know, for pairing foods
with
their blends.
Uh-huh.
So that inspired us to make every wine as a field blend. So every single wine is a co-fermented field blend of varieties. And that includes our Rosato, which has 5 grapes in it.
Yeah, you've got Sangiovese, Dolcetto, Cabernet Franc, Viognier, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Well, there's Cabernet Franc, Syrah. I guess in order it's Dolcetto, Sangiovese, Zinfandel, Cab Franc, and Syrah. And then there are a few other grapes thrown in.
Yeah.
And it's an intentional rosé. We pick the grapes and co-ferment them. Soak them about 24, 36 hours, press them off, and it's done.
There's been a lot in the news lately, not in the paper, about unintentional and intentional. Interesting that that's the name that's been chosen. One is the soigner, the free-run juice that comes off.
Saigner.
Saigner, yes, that's right.
To bleed.
Yeah,
bleed. Saigner.
Yeah. when you want to get some of that juice off before mm-hmm. you start fermentation of your red wine. And then yeah. the other one is to make it, to pick the grapes with the intention of making rosé. Right. And is one of the key things for that is that when you pick for rosé, you're picking lower.
You can pick a little less ripe. So yes. if you're yeah. if with a Saignée, you want to be sure your main wine is as ripe as you want it. So then the Saignée might be a little higher than mm-hmm. in a so-called intentional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's both intentional and specific to the vintage mm-hmm. because Bill chooses different grapes each year. It's always got Dolcetto and Sangiovese, which is why we named it Rosato, is mm-hmm. to have the Italian
the
grapes.
Proportions might change.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I think we should taste it.
Yeah. Here we go.
Here's that sound again. Okay. Beautiful. Yeah. Deep peach. It almost looks like the blush on the outside of a white nectarine.
Yeah.
Really pretty color.
You know, these grapes are you know, when you cut them open and squeeze them on a white paper towel, it's actually clear. So mm-hmm. it really just gets, you know, all these red wines get their real color from the contact with the skin. So, but these grapes are very dark grapes. So mm-hmm. It's very interesting how it really lifts this up, and the color comes quick. So it could get very colorful very fast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We like to leave it on the skins basically overnight. So mm-hmm. it's up to 24 hours. But, you know, we want to get a lot of the flavors are in the skins and right under the skin. So mm-hmm.
Do you do whole cluster?
No, we crush and separate the stems right away.
Okay. So we make it in stainless steel, and then it goes into neutral oak at the end, mm-hmm. about 4 months.
Yeah. There's just a little touch here of just a little bit of oak on that finish, but it smooths out that I mean, it's got vibrant acidity, a lot of bright red berries in there. They're just dancing around in your mouth. I like that kind of Bing cherry, almost cranberry kind of effect there too. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about some great salads right now. I'm thinking about, you know, some seafood dishes that would be fantastic with this. I'm thinking sushi too, but we are
definitely
sushi
thinking sushi and sashimi and poke.
Poke.
Fabulous with the Hawaiian poke. Very
but the most important thing about this wine is it finishes dry. I mean, this is what we're into now. That's why we're even talking about pink wines the way we talk about them. It's probably one of the most popular trends in wine right now.
So it is heading up, finally.
Oh, yeah. And especially here in Sonoma County.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, and like we said, some people really do it as a Saignée. But at least they're doing it too. Mm-hmm. So the quality of these rosés has improved so much over the past 5 years, and mm-hmm. they're on most any real good restaurant has at least two or three really great rosés in there, if not more.
Mm-hmm.
What were you wanting to say?
Oh, please, you were going to say something. Okay. But one of the things whenever I get the chance to have someone who makes wine on the show, I like to ask, what's your favorite way to enjoy your wine? Is there any particular dishes? I mean, and if it's just like whatever I'm cooking any night is fine. But I'm wondering if there's any favorite foods you really love with this wine.
Well, I think it's perfect with salmon. And Betsy probably has, she's mainly the cook.
I really like it with spicy food, Indian, mm-hmm. Asian, Mexican.
Sure.
Because it can handle the heat.
Mm-hmm.
Our family drinks it for Thanksgiving because it cuts through this combination of sweet and savory.
Absolutely.
We think people should drink rosé year-round. It's not just not just for the summer.
Apparently in France they talk about April to October rosés tend to be the pale ones, and the October to April tend to be a little darker, a little more mouth-filling.
Uh-huh.
And I'd never known that until recently.
Yeah. Well, I drink rosé year-round. I love it in the winter. And there are certain foods, like when I make my crab louis, and my I make one of the best crab louis in the universe.
We're all shaking our heads.
For a very specific reason, and it's very old school in that it doesn't have lots of vegetables.
Okay.
It has iceberg lettuce, mm-hmm. torn, not chopped,
okay.
a big mound of crab, picked crab, and the best louis dressing in the world, and a lemon wedge.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And I've been making the dressing since I was 16.
Wow.
And I like, now sometimes I'll serve a sparkling, and often a sparkling, a dry sparkling rose, you know, like Brut Rosé, maybe from Iron Horse. But any of these rosés are just beautiful with that. And you can also serve it with oysters on the half shell, especially if you make, if you use a little bit of the wine to make a mignonette, it just pairs beautifully with oysters on the half shell.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And I think it's something to set up, you know, for the evening, too, to get people's palates really going, you know, in as you, you know, do receptions or just around the pool. Like I always say, this is not a patio pounder. This is like you have a glass of this Rosado and you actually ask, who made this and can we get a bottle? You know,
so it's absolutely.
Well, in the tasting room, we'll pour this first and then go through seven red wines, then pour it again. Yeah, just to demonstrate how it stands up to,
The bright acidity, the freshness. You know, it's perfectly done.
Mm-hmm. What's the price?
$25 retail.
$25, and the first one, the Hook and Ladder. What's
it's
the price?
It's probably about $24. Okay. I think if I remember right, and the last one we're going to taste is about $28.
Okay. Yeah, I always forget to ask that, and people are always asking me. So
yeah, so we're right in the $20 zone.
$20 to $30 zone, sweet spot.
Really nice, but you know, I think that this also exemplifies why this vineyard is so important to us, and I think for anyone that really loves Zinfandel and these field blends, I mean, it's really something. What you guys have basically preserved this vineyard, it really has a history that is what Sonoma County was based on, is the settlers that came here first.
We should mention Chris's favorite is our medley, which is the whole vineyard
can't
blend.
Get enough of it.
It's kind of the ultimate field blend with about 60 grapes in it. So it's every grape we grow.
And about a third of it is Zinfandel. And another third, almost another third, Cabernet Franc. Yeah. And then lots of others.
Yeah. And it'll vary too.
It varies per year to year. It's not a set formula.
But it always goes with food, no matter what. It's
got
just
great aroma.
I think that this is the time to another great trend to really look at is proprietary blends. And I think that the medley is a signature proprietary blend from Sonoma County. And no one can copy it because they don't have this vineyard like they do. And, you know, just in working with it, with food through the years, it's a gem. And that's why we're going to focus on it. So we're doing this dinner coming up here. And it's called the Zin Zin Din Din. I thought that would be kind of catchy. And it's kind of a pop-up style dinner we're going to do on June 29th. But I really want that
one. It's a week from this Thursday.
Yeah. So that's what I really want to start out with, that salad. And I think that will be a great one.
Oh, that salad. Local peppercress, fresh shaved corn, torpedo onion, rice wine vinaigrette, and Bing cherries.
Yeah.
Served with medley. Very interesting.
Yeah. It's just all the acidity and all those grapes and all the things that are going on in that plate. And I think that the great thing, too, Michelle, is that you got to taste some of the soups that Bob makes. And, I mean, the guy, there's so many layers of flavors in there. That
he's a great cook.
You've got to really pair up right. And that's why this has enough stuff going on in it. It's a great wine, the medley is. And it's really one of my favorites in Sonoma County, for sure.
And we'll be back. We'll tease you with some more of the menu items for this Zin Zin Din Din after another Father's Day song.
They call me Daddy. Daddy Rolling Stone. They call me Daddy. Daddy Rolling Stone. Girls, you think you had loving. Girls, you think you had your fun. Well, girls, you ain't had nothing until I fun at night. I have my fun anytime I want, cause anytime I have, baby, it's right. Cause I'm a daddy.
Daddy Rolling Stone.
They call me Daddy Rolling Stone.
Daddy Rolling Stone.
Cause I'm a daddy.
daddy roller. I'm the daddy rolling stone. Now girls, they call my friend Big John, 'cause he's big as he can be. Now Big John may be twice my size, but he don't know much as me. I'm the daddy, daddy rolling stone. I know for drinking whiskey, I know for drinking rye, I know in the city, but you hear me by. I'm the daddy, they call me daddy rolling stone.
Nobody could scream like Willie DeVille could scream. Just such a soulful sound coming out of that man. God, I loved his voice. And that is off of Daddy Rolling Stone, a tribute to Otis Blackwell, I believe is the title. You could, it was called Daddy Rolling Stone. Some great songs on there by a whole array of familiar and unfamiliar artists. And you can find it on YouTube, which is how we are currently playing things on Mouthful. And it allows me so much of my music at home, especially if I go back into some of the earlier things, so much of my music is on vinyl. And a lot of that has now been put onto YouTube, and it certainly makes my engineer's life a lot easier to find it that way, because playing vinyl in radio stations, including this one, is a challenge. The turntables often don't quite do what they're supposed to do. Anyway, Daddy Rolling Stone, Father's Day, and we've got my annual Father's Day song coming up before the end of the show. I should tell you what we're doing. We're talking with Chris Sawyer, who does everything in the world about wine. He is a sommelier. He is also the son-in-law of one of my favorite people in the world, Gerald Haslam, who I've done radio shows with many times, retired professor at Sonoma State and author of many wonderful books, including Working Man's Blues.
It's an amazing book.
About the country movement out of Bakersfield. Mm-hmm. And he takes it from the early days and goes all the way forward to bands like The Knitters, which was the punk band X's country version. So it's a really, if you've never read it, and you love music, it is a fabulous, fabulous book. Yeah. You do all kinds of wine education, and you're a partner and sommelier at the new Gravenstein Grill.
That's
also
right.
With us are Betsy and Bill Knock. Bauer, I got that right, of Acorn Winery in the heart of Russian River Valley. We're talking about the new restaurant, Gravenstein Grill, and we're talking about Acorn Winery, and we are talking about rosé, a great wine in this weather, that's for sure.
And I just want to say one thing that you just inspired me to say. You know, today is Father's Day, and we're drinking pink, you know, and that's good. Like, things are changing in America.
Things
darn
are changing.
It. We are refreshing ourselves with pink wines again. And you know, I sometimes when I do classes, I'll have people raise their hands like, who here, your first wines that you've ever tasted, were they Matus or Lancers? You know, which is totally sweet pink wine, or white Zinfandel. And it just has changed. And I think that example that we just tasted from Acorn is one of those great, bright, cheery, wonderful wines that can go with so many different types of food, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one of the things that we're seeing with this is the growing maturity of the American palate, yep, in that around the world, especially if Europeans are the one doing the judging, America has, in general, an infantile palate, which, yep, means Americans typically prefer a lot of sweet, yep, as opposed to dry. And I'm not talking just about wine, but with lots of foods. Americans, mm-hmm, eat more sugar than any other people.
Coca-Cola.
Yeah, Coca-Cola. And all those other things. But then sweet cereals, sweet everything.
Yeah.
And that's the sign of an, you know, if you think of little kids, you know, little kids get, yeah, the, you know, they got served sugar water.
Yeah.
They have that initial, mm-hmm, as an infant, you have that initial impulse for sweet, and that continues through part of childhood until, yeah, your palate starts to expand.
Yeah.
But we, as a young country, we seem to have this fairly infantile palate overall.
Yeah.
So as we start to respond to drier, yeah, wines, I think, yeah, that's a sign of growing maturity, food palate-wise.
Well, I think we're really growing up, and I mean, look at our food today that we're having. I mean, we're on a different level. I mean, when Food Network came out and kids started having them as heroes, just like they were baseball players, you know, these great chefs, and how we eat today is, these wines, it was about time these wines came around.
Yeah, we're willing to be more adventurous, mm-hmm, in what we eat, primarily in the public sphere rather, yeah, than at home.
Yeah.
We still have a lot of old preferences, right, in our home cooking, and that's something I've spent my career working against.
Yeah.
My specialty is, my target audience is the home cook,
yeah,
who wants to eat really well.
You've produced some wonderful cookbooks, so that's,
we've got one right here that Bill and Betsy brought in.
This was such a surprise. You have to say what you brought.
Well, I guess it's your original cookbook, but we bought it back in the 90s.
And that was it. Came out in 19.
Well,
in September.
We bought it in 1990, which was the year we bought the vineyard.
Okay,
right. And I guess my thinking was, if we were going to be growing grapes in Sonoma County, we ought to learn to eat in Sonoma, yeah, County. And this is,
and
a wonderful guide
to
cheese producers, bread producers, meat, egg producers.
Well, it was updated actually in an all-new volume in 2000. And then I'm working on what will be my final book on Sonoma County. I'm working on the proposal, great, for that right now.
Great.
Because as we get more and more attention, the group that is being left out is the home cook.
Yep.
So people leave. Everyone wants to visit Sonoma County, people who love food, but they go home, and the main thing they take away with them, wine and other beverages, but the desire to come back and eat in our restaurants. And what I can teach these people is, no, you can cook like this at home, and it's,
absolutely,
actually really easy. So that's going to be the focus.
The title of this book is A Cook's Tour of Sonoma County. Maybe the next one will be A Home Cook's Tour.
Well, the second title was The New Cook's Tour of Sonoma, and what I'm thinking, the working title of the third one is, Real Home Cooking, something like Real Home Cooking from America's Premier Wine Region. Sonoma County, like Sonoma County Kitchen, and then Real Home Cooking from. So it's, you know, yeah, in the
but
end.
We do have an advantage over a lot of the visitors in that we get so much good produce here,
absolutely,
in Sonoma County. And
I mean, that's the foundation of everything, is our remarkable soil and our climate.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and another thing about their vineyard, too, that I love so much is just the Zinfandel itself. And I think that we've seen a trend. You know, Bill and Betsy and we're all big fans and members of the Zinfandel Advocates and Producers.
Mm-hmm.
And what we've seen, I think, over the past 15 years has been a big change in the flavor profile of, mm-hmm, of Zinfandels. They have toned down that.
It's getting more approachable again.
It is so much better. I think that the great thing is what you see from there, from Acorn Vineyard and the Alegria Vineyard, and why it's so special, is it talks like it's its own site, and it,
mm-hmm,
is, and because it's not 100%, and it's this kind of blend that was made. It was the traditional style,
yeah,
back in the old days.
A lot of complexity from the field blend, and it's also cool climate. It's Russian River Valley, so it's,
yeah,
so the grapes don't get so ripe, so our alcohols aren't high, and,
yeah,
never any residual sugar.
One thing I'm curious: have you noticed what sort of changes have you seen attributable to climate? And by that I mean, certainly every year is different, yes. up and down and up and down. Yeah. But I'm wondering if you also see an arc that can be attributed
we're
to climate change.
Today's a good day to ask when it was 102 at the vineyard today. It's, and I think we've seen a change where there's fewer foggy days in June, and it's kind of shifted to more in September.
Mm-hmm.
So along with, we go from more rain than we've ever had to to hot days like this. It is something's changing.
Yeah.
And it used to be we would probably have 5 days out of seven. It would be foggy in the morning through the summer, and now it might be three or four.
Mm.
But, it's kind of good, too, because at the, when harvest is coming, giving them a little bit more moisture, these grapes, more moisture, and letting them mature a little bit slower there at the end is actually a benefit to us. So, but one thing I did want to point out is really, if you look at the great Pinot Noir regions in California, Russian River is really the only one where you grow Zinfandel. And, and it goes back to an old term that's called the fog dog. And it's actually, you can look it up in the Oxford Dictionary. And a fog dog is a dog that lives on a farm that knows exactly where to lay down because the fog will break there. And it's where the immigrants that came here, they really picked these places specifically because they were the places where they would get the sun first in the mornings. And so you find these little groovy spots there. It's fantastic. Actually, I got that from Joseph Phelps because they had a wine called the Fog Dog. And I was like, what does that mean? And then I looked it up, and it's actually right on. So it is a phenomenon, and you see why it's special in Russian River Valley is really that the kind of the big pan area there between Russian or River Road, even Piner Road, and going towards right where they are, just on the outskirts of Healdsburg. It's a beautiful zone. It's wide. It's where the fog burns off first because of that, the Santa Rosa Plains. And it works so well. And it just if we were the generation that planted that would be one thing. But they're actually following, people continuing this process.
We're continuing to nurture a vineyard that was planted in 1890. And, Zinfandel was California's most widely planted grape going back to the 1860s and was for about 100 years. So it was in Russian River certainly before Pinot Noir. But Russian River certainly the place for Pinot Noir now.
Yeah, so this new one that we're tasting here, this rosé, this is the Lassiter family wine.
Anjouet. I love this wine.
It's a very complex wine. One thing that kind of ties in also with Bill and Betsy's vineyard, too, is that they do have Syrah there. And so this is Syrah-based. This is, let's see, what's the percentage this year is 68% Syrah, 21% Grenache, 7% Mourvèdre, and 4% Cunois, which is a little bit rarer to find, but from the Rhone Valley. So so it's like a GSM plus another C at the end. it's a beautiful wine, and I was with John Lasseter the other night. He's from Pixar, and Cars 3.
One of Sonoma County's treasures.
Yeah, Cars 3 just came out. We went to a preview of it at the Sebastiani Theater in Sonoma. And I will say this, that John said, Chris, get me a couple of bottles of that pink stuff and let's go in. So I snuck it in for him to watch the movie with this. And
we all should be doing that at our theaters.
Absolutely.
Although now in Sebastopol, you can do it legally. It's about the Sebastopol Rialto.
Yeah.
You can now get one and take it into the theater.
That's so good. Now, I've been working for John and Nancy for 20 years.
What do you do for them?
I've been their private sommelier
that long. They have an amazing collection. I've been at their house once. I was interviewing them, and we went into the tasting area.
Oh, it's a beautiful area.
Yeah.
And it's all from their estate, too. Mm-hmm. So that's, once again, we're talking about estate-grown grapes and making them right on the estate. So. Mm-hmm. They have the full facility there. Julia Iatoska, the winemaker, will be with me in Telluride this next week. So we get a really...
Where was she before? I know her.
She was at Lambert Bridge. She put them on the map.
Right, that's
those
right.
Merlots that she made were outstanding. And her husband will be with us too. And he is the winemaker, the emeritus at Gloria Ferrer.
Okay, there we go. Who's...
Bob Iatoska.
Th- That's right.
Yeah.
They're not brother and sister. They're married.
They are definitely married. And I will say this little sneak preview here. When I was talking to Julia this week, Press Democrat was taking a picture of her that will be a big article on them and the two winemakers who were married.
Excellent.
So it's coming up soon.
Cool. So we should be tasting this.
Okay.
Let me get out that last.
Okay. Do a little pour right in front of it. Ooh, that sounds good.
Yes.
So, yeah. So what I just love about this wine is it's got a lot of texture to it. It's also got some kind of herbal accents to it. And I think this is a really special place right there in Glen Ellen where this is located. It's right next to the Pagani Ranch and where Wellington and Loxton are. It's just a beautiful little spot. And John and Nancy own about 100 acres right there. About 40 of it's planted. And this is really what the Syrah is used for, is just this wine. Whereas their Chemin de Fer, which is a Rhone-style blend, is Grenache-based. Mm-hmm. There is a little bit of Syrah in it. But once again, it's just like Bill and Betsy, and really picking out the right blocks and usually going with them, but percentages can change about how much of this and how much of that. But this is consistently good, and the Wine Spectator just gave this a 91, and it was the highest rated for rosés in that article of the United States, and only three that came over it were French ones.
Wow.
So
excellent.
That's pretty good.
A fabulous one, and it goes so beautifully with watermelon salad.
Oh yeah,
that's what I paired. I've written about this twice, and I think I did. I know one time I did a watermelon salad. And by watermelon salad, just fresh watermelon. In this version, fresh watermelon, feta cheese, mint and arugula, some shallots.
Do we have any basil in that?
Some bacon.
Oh, bacon. Okay, now we're talking.
Yeah, not basil. I think basil fights with some of those ingredients.
Okay.
For me, basil is a really strong flavor.
It's very strong.
So I don't put it into that kind of context. I would put, what I normally put is a little bit of mint, depending on the wine. I might put in a little bit of cilantro. If I put in cilantro, I'll also add a little bit of minced serrano.
Yeah, okay.
And yeah, basil to me is like dill in that it's very, very strong. And I don't like to mix one strong flavor with another strong flavor.
Yeah. Well, I just think that, you know, that's the other thing that's really happening here in Sonoma County that's kind of still under the radar a little bit is Syrah. And Grenache is really coming in. I think all the collectors love Syrah.
You know, Syrah seemed like it was going to skyrocket about 15 years ago. Yeah. Then it fell.
Well, I kind of like the fact that people also discovered, like, we can't just focus on that. We need to make blends with Syrah because that's actually how they do most of it in the Rhone Valley.
Absolutely.
Our Syrah is co-fermented with 2% Viognier, and that makes a big difference.
You know, that's Russian Hill. First place I saw doing that was Russian Hill, and they were mixing it with a percentage of Viognier, and it was a real revelation.
We have the Viognier interplanted in the Syrah, so we actually pick it together, co-ferment. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's just, I've always loved your Syrah, too, so that's why it's always fun. I can talk forever about the Acorn wines.
They're absolutely wonderful, and that, you know, you're one of the only local growers, I think, of Dolcetto. And Dolcetto, if I have it right, means in the fog or from the fog.
No, that's Nebbiolo.
Nebbiolo, that's right. What does
Dolcetto
mean?
Means sweetie, which is a very misleading name for the...
Because it's not
sweet.
Because
it's a very dry wine.
Yes.
But it's kind of the everyday wine in the Piedmont area of Italy.
That's right, and Nebbiolo is the fog.
And Nebbiolo is kind of their more expensive wine for special occasions and export.
I always found when, if there was no Beaujolais, this was like when I was first really becoming a wine drinker, if there was no Pinot Noir and no Beaujolais on the menu, I would look either for a Dolcetto or a Nebbiolo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's it really, once again, you're talking about Italian varieties, and so you've got Sangiovese and Dolcetto that were in that amazing risotto. Once again, you've got a tradition here in Sonoma County that really has a lot of Italian, a lot of people with the I or an O at the end of their name, you know, because it really does have the tradition, and it's always been that way in Sonoma County, and it's nice to preserve these vineyards and really have a great time with them. And that's why, you know, the Zinfandel dinner that we're doing, the Zin Zin Din Din, is really kind of designed to showcase those great old vineyards. So besides Acorn, we'll also have Hartford, which just won number seven in the top 100 of the Wine Spectator for his Zinfandel. So Jeff Stewart will be there.
And that's going to be paired with Walnut Keep over in Solano County, I believe, their Pork Sugo.
Yep.
I think that's what the chef gave to Lark. I think that's the one she likes so much.
Well, no wonder.
Yeah, really. And then barbecued duck confit. Why don't you talk about that?
Yeah, with Gordian Knot. So this is Tim and Ann, who used to own Sapphire Hill, and now they've started a new brand called Gordian Knot.
Okay.
And it's a really great brand. But what I really love the most about it is this one vineyard. It's the Winbury Vineyard. So if you guys are traveling on Piner Road to get to up there to Olivet, you'll go by a vineyard on your left side, and it's a gnarly old vineyard.
I pass it all the time.
And you feel sorry for the grapes, but you know what? They put out amazing fruit. So this is the legacy that's still alive, and they do a really great job with
that. And it's going to be cured duck legs, honey bourbon barbecue sauce, and it comes with a creamy white cheddar and scallion polenta. I know that'll taste really good.
Oh, yeah.
And then we've got Applewood smoked short ribs. Talk about that wine pairing.
Yeah, so that's the Gamba. So if you guys know your Zinfandels out there, Gamba, another great member of the Zinfandel Advocates and Producers, bigger style, a lot of fruit in there. But people that like a Gamba really like a Gamba. You put it on your wine list like I did. People come back for more, mm-hmm. and it is a great thing. And Gus, the owner, will be there with us too. So it's going to be a great dinner. I mean, you basically got four winemaking families that are going to be
Everyone's going to be there.
They're all going to be there. So that's what makes it fun, and why I think that, you know, there's winemaker dinners, and then there's just fun dinners with wineries.
Yes.
And that's what this one is. It's really showcasing a lot of the strengths of Sonoma County here, but also you can talk to a lot of winemakers instead of one. And you can meet them. You can have selfies with them. You can do all this stuff. But you get to taste these different wines. And I've always done this through the years at different restaurants where I've been, the sommelier. I think that mixing it up and bringing in people that like each other and are just friends and get to showcase, you know, the strengths together, that each one of their wines is very different, and that's what makes them all good.
How much is the dinner?
I believe it's $75. I don't have that right in front of me, but you can look on our website at gravensteingrill.com and find that. And I also have some of the information on my sawyersom.com as well.
And we should say the last one, the final dish, the dessert, I have to mention, for a very specific reason. It's a stone fruit galette. I love galettes. But instead of being served with whipped cream, and I will just say it out loud, I hate whipped cream. I've hate whipped cream my entire life. I didn't like it as a kid. I hate it. It's being served with whipped mascarpone.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Whipped mascarpone or whipped creme fraiche, either one, are so much better. And there's so much air in whipped cream. Yeah. I just think it's gross. So that, it's a fabulous menu. Yeah. Now, one thing is, so it's a single specific seating, right?
Yeah, this is the only dinner. We're just doing it, not next Thursday, but the Thursday after that on the 29th. So we've got, you know, it's limited to 60 people. We did our first dinner, our first winemaker dinner a week ago, and it was Boleto, and that was sold out with 60 people. So that's not bad for your first dinner.
No, not at all.
I think this one's
going to
be just as well received, and I hope that, you know, the wineries, some of their followers come in and get to know these other wineries too. I think that's what this is. It's a very cordial thing, and the food is going to be amazing, and I already know the wines are going to be amazing.
Yeah. And this is all taking place at the brand new Gravenstein Grill, housed in the former French Garden restaurant on Bodega Highway, Highway 12, just before Regal Ranch Road and Regal Avenue in Sebastopol. It's a great place. Thanks so much to all of you. It's Bill and Betsy Knockbauer of Acorn Winery. It's the website, acornwinery.com.
Acornwinery.com.
And Chris Sawyer, thank you again. I'm sure I'm going to have you just back regularly. You're such a fabulous
guest.
Whatever
you need me for. And we'll get Bob on the show, but it was Father's Day. That was a pretty good excuse for him to actually have to work really hard today.
Yes, and have a great Rest of Father's Day and a great week. This is my, I never knew my father. He died when I was an infant. And this is the song that always makes me think of him.
Of my